right, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I hope you guys all had a wonderful week. I know I've had a busy week with work and tutoring and all that good stuff that I do. And actually something very crazy, I would say, came out of my student's school. So his mom went to the school and they told her that she's doing too much to help him. And I mean, so she got a tutor, me, to help him with his homework because and to like double check it, go over it, teach him better than he learns in school because he just doesn't learn it well in a group setting. It's just being in school is not how he learns. He does good one-on-one individually because most of the time I have to like reteach him the subject material that he learned in school because he'll get to the homework and not remember what he learned in school. But when I work with him, he does really, really well. We study for quizzes and stuff. I do flashcards with him, and he learns it quick. He knows it well. I hand him his math homework, and it used to be that I had to walk him through every problem and teach him how to do them. Now I hand him his math homework, and he just sits there, goes right through them, does them all, no help. And then I go through and check the answers. He's been showing really good improvement, and he's been doing better on tests and stuff, but he still isn't a great test taker. And when it comes to like in class work, he doesn't do the best. And so the school ended up telling her that he gets too much help outside of school, and that the quality of work that comes out of his homework doesn't match the quality of work he puts in class. But when you have a student who does better with one-on-one teaching, of course that's going to happen. He, like I said, he's not a group classroom person. Sure. He's not the kind of kid that can sit in class and do quality classwork. He needs to have that one-on-one mentor there, coaching him through the things he doesn't know, helping him, teaching him it better, and just there for support.
You know what? It might be the teacher that's not teaching well in school.
It might be. And he goes to a really big school. And I mean, so they also, they're so picky that she has his binder set up with like different pocket folders in it for each subject. And the school told her that she can't do that, that his binder has to be set up with dividers. And he has to hole punch everything and put it through. Like, honestly, who cares what your binder looks like? And it, why does everyone have to have a uniform binder? I mean, this is what works for him. It works well. They're all labeled what he needs. It's all in a folder because he's pretty sloppy. So it's easier to have a folder than hole punching and sticking it in there, it ripping out and everything like that. And so they told her that she can't even do that for him. And it's absolutely ridiculous that public school's just getting so demanding of this. Everything has to be uniform down to the binder. And it irritates me that his mom wants the best for him and sees that he doesn't get taught how he needs to be taught in public school settings. So she goes out of her way to get somebody to help him that can learn how he learns the best way and teach him that way. That way he can make it through school. But yet the school is not wanting her to do what's best for him.
The schools have gotten away from their core teaching and they've gone the PC run, and instead of teaching subjects that they should be teaching kids, that, you know, I mean, they've gone away, and teachers aren't really, as I feel, teachers that do that aren't as good teachers as ones that stick to the core and teach kids, not worry so much about testing and all this other stuff.
Right. And it's just, I just don't understand why they don't want him, if he's not doing well, to go out and get help I mean, there's tutoring centers.
Right.
That you can bring your kid there. Well, if she brought him there, I'm sure they would still say something. Oh, the quality of his work outside of school is not matching the quality of work in the classroom. Well, of course it's not. He's not doing well here, so we have to do something else. Mm-hmm. It really just shows how much the public school system is trying to get involved into your outside of school life and your personal life, trying to make sure that every kid is treated absolutely the same. I'm sorry, but if somebody's parent wants to get them a tutor, they should be able to get them a tutor, especially if they're not doing well. He's just not. Some kids don't need tutors. Some kids just do well in school. Unfortunately, my student needs a little bit of extra help, and so she goes out of her way to make sure that he gets that help. So that was my outrage of the week. And she told me about that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I feel bad. She's
Yeah, that is bad. That is too bad, because that's New York State for you. I mean, setting right. these regs. But I mean, there have been tutors to help kids as long as I can remember.
Right.
I mean, kids, everybody's not a genius. And sometimes it takes extra help to
mm-hmm.
get things in your head to learn. I mean, I'm somebody that needs to get, except for history, needs to get things repeated.
Right. That, and then I can pick it up. That's how my student is, too.
But in school, if they're giving him new information once, and it's fast because they have to cram so much in, well, he may not be able to pick it up.
Right.
And he needs the extra help.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, we do flashcards, and we literally just go drill them. We'll do like two of them. We'll just keep doing two of the flashcards until he knows them down pat, and then add another one until he knows the three of them, and then another one until he knows the four. And after a while, start mixing them up. And then once I mix them up and I know he's got them, he is golden. But he needs that one-on-one time, that coaching, and somebody that really understands how he learns as an individual. Mm-hmm. And public school is just not going to be able to do that for him.
No, every kid's the same.
Yeah, every kid has to be the same, and it's too big of a school for them to be individual. Where I went to a small school, and that's where small schools come in handy. I like small schools better than big schools.
Sure.
Because the teachers get to know you better individually. They have more time. They have a better chance to get to know you. But, I mean, there's just no way possible in the school he goes to that he's going to get the kind of help that he needs there. Yeah. Even in, like, a resource class or anything like that, it's still a big class.
See, I went to Catholic school, and the classes weren't that big. I mean, maybe 15 at the most, 12. And the nun could take extra time with you. Also, after school, they would stay and help you. Or if you wanted to come in on a Saturday morning, they made themselves available, which you don't see with teachers today.
Oh, no. I mean, in my school, we had one math teacher that just went out of her way to make sure everybody had help as they needed it. She was like, here's my phone number. You can call me till 9 p.m. If you need help on a problem, we will walk through it together. And she's like, if you need to come in on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'll be here. And she really went out of her way to make sure. But that, again, that's coming from a really, really small school where the teachers actually care about the students.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I felt so bad for his mom. She came, or I got there, and she goes, I got bulldozed at the school today. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, they just tore me apart.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
It is.
That they don't want the best for the student, yet they say they do.
Yeah.
That no child left behind. We want the best for everybody, but go out of your way outside of school to help them, and we're going to tear you down for it.
And that's another thing. No child left behind.
That's the stupidest thing.
They don't fail kids today. And I don't, you know, think every kid needs to be failed if that, but they'll put a kid in the next class without not knowing what he did in the class before.
Yeah, did you see about the teacher that got fired for giving out zeros instead of 50s to people that weren't handing in work? I mean, you didn't hand it in. You got a zero. there is no 50% for doing nothing.
Gosh.
So like minimum, everyone at least gets a 50, even if you don't do anything. That's just not how it works. That, and then so they do tests and stuff. So that's going to bring it up to a 65 at least, if not higher. So they're going to automatically pass. And that's just pushing people to get through school. And then as soon as they graduate, oh, well, you made it through school. You can go to college. You can take out loans with the government. You can become a slave in debt to the government because you're going to go to a four-year school because you made it through school.
Yeah. And then the results show that children going into college, 75% of them need remedial English and reading. So would they say, well, that's because, well, he should have had a tutor to help him out, right?
Right, and then you get a tutor and you get...
The teacher.
Public school system is just trying to hit you at every corner possible, even though they say they're looking out for your best interests. It's crazy. So that was my outrage of the week.
I would be outraged.
And, I mean, I hate saying outraged because I always get, I always laugh that everybody's just so outraged on social media and everything about every little thing ever, but about things that don't matter. But when things that do matter come across my way and I get really angry about it, I feel outraged.
I understand. I mean, you spend time, the parent spends money, mm-hmm. the child knows. Things that you're teaching them, and like you said, he may not be getting it at school because he may be like a lot of kids, including me, repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do that in school anymore, and they just swing from one subject matter to the other without the kids knowing the subject
fully.
Matter.
And that's their responsibility to learn at home anyway.
Right.
And so... who cares how you learn it at home? I mean, you've got kids getting by school with Spark Notes. You've got kids having other people do their homework for them. But yet their quality of work is not being tested towards the quality of work mm-hmm. they're putting out in the classroom because they're not seen as a student that needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
They're just lazy.
Well, you know, it's like this new math, okay? They go so fast in classes. So the parents help the child out, all right, if they understand it. Which
yeah, and if they don't, they got to find someone that does.
Right. So you help the child out, okay, and you spend a lot of time with him, and he picks it up. But now in school, they can't give the kids the individual attention, like you said, because there's too many in there, you know? And I would be frustrated.
It is frustrating. Frustrating. It really is. So let's move on to the outrage of society for the week.
There's a lot of outrage out there.
Brett Kavanaugh, they had the hearings, and oh my God, it was like a few days long. I didn't even tune in until the other day. It was like the last hour of work. I had nothing to do. And so I'm like, you know what? It's being live streamed on Facebook. I'll just watch it for an hour. And I probably picked the best hour to watch. So I'm watching it. And first of all, we said a little bit last week that there's no evidence. There's no way to prove anything. In this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. And I'm not trying to call women who come out with assault allegations all liars, but I think this lady is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying everybody is, and I'm not trying to say that I'm against people coming out about it, but this kind of stuff here, this instance, makes it hard for people that actually went through stuff to come out and say something. And so until this can be proven that he's guilty, I don't think he is. And if something comes out that proves that he is guilty, I'm wrong then. You proved me wrong.
You're right.
But I honestly think this man is innocent. there may have been some like unclear situations maybe in high school or college, but I don't think to this extent that's coming out, that they're saying. And honestly, this Ford lady, there's just so many holes in her story, and she didn't want to talk to people, and she couldn't remember anything. And then, oh wait, all of a sudden I do remember. And it's just this, like we said before, this guy has been at such a level that he could have been attacked and his reputation ruined for a long time. He's been at a pretty good status.
Yep.
And why wait until now when you could have destroyed his life sooner?
Right.
So anyway, I tuned in, and I think my favorite part of this, even though I hate to say it, was Lindsey Graham's speech.
Wasn't that great? Although I
will talk about it in a few minutes. I think there may be some kind of underlying motive. Definitely. But either way,
if you know Lindsey Graham, though, I mean, it's like he said, he voted for the last two Democratic appointed judges. I mean, you know, they all have to question and they may get a little silly at times, but at the end they usually appoint whoever the president. I mean, there's been a few cases, but I think he's kind of like a no-nonsense guy, and I think he had just had it with the way things were going.
Oh, he was angry.
And even at his own party, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't just saying, but the things that he said were true. Why? And I still say Dianne Feinstein leaked that letter. She held it for a month and a half. Yep. They had the hearings on him 4 days with FBI background investigation. Why didn't she bring it out at those hearings about that letter? Then they could have done an investigation, and at this point, it would have been over. But she held on to it, and then somehow it got leaked. Now, she was the only one with the letter, so it was either her or her staff that went to the paper. Like you said, this guy's life could be ruined.
Oh, it already
his
is.
His children.
Trash.
He's got young kids that go to school, and they're being harassed. And the way this country's going with people immediately harassing people because they don't like something that they do is
right,
like you said, it's terrible.
Definitely. So Lindsey Graham, I absolutely loved that he spoke out so passionately against his own party and just called the whole thing as it is. It's a waste of time. We're ruining this guy's life, putting him through hell, as he said. He said is the greatest sham in politics or something like that he's seen in his life, which, I mean, there's worse that we've done, so.
But
I don't
think,
know, but that was, it was passionate.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about the senators on that committee.
Yeah.
That it was a sham by bringing out information late and then coming up. Now, this other lady that you talked about talked to a Democrat appointed attorney for 6 days and then came out with the story. I think that's what he was being frustrated about, was that bring it all out at once. Why do you keep
bring
delaying?
It out, talk to a lawyer, like bring out the allegation, then talk to your lawyer about how you're going to do the trials.
Right.
And like get all your information together that you brought out and then go to trial.
Yeah. But as soon as they get things settled, and the next day they come up with another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later they come, like the one I think is really funny was that he was on a boat in Rhode Island. Did you hear that one?
No.
Oh, he was on a boat with Rhode Island and raped women. And he said, I've never been on a boat in Rhode Island before in my life. Then the guy recanted. He took it off of Twitter about a half hour after he put it on. But the news kept reporting it for 5 hours after the guy said it never happened, that he just put it on Twitter.
I think it's crazy that people can just come out of nowhere, say something about somebody, like point a finger and say, that person assaulted me, and without any kind of proof, evidence, or anything, all of a sudden they're publicly humiliated, publicly shamed, automatically guilty, and you can ruin lives like that. It's scary that that's what's going on, that people can just come out, point a finger, say something, can be completely false, and just ruin your life over it. What was I going to say? Something that was that made me laugh hysterically was they were asking Ford about how she got there.
Yeah.
And she's like on an airplane.
And she didn't like airplanes.
But she doesn't like, she has a fear of airplanes. And so she's like, well, my friend helped me get up the gumption. And I got here and it was just something I had to do. And I thought about it for a while, but I just had to do it. And then they're like, okay, well, in X year you went to Hawaii. And in X year you went to somewhere else. Yeah, how did you get there? And how did you get there? Did you go by airplane? Well, yes. Okay, but you're scared of airplanes, right? But you have no problem flying everywhere all the time.
Right.
But all of a sudden now you do. It's never been like in record that you've been afraid of flying in airplanes before, but now you do.
And when she said she was afraid of flying, they even said that they would fly out to her. The committee would fly out to her and take her testimony. And she refused. Then at the hearing, she says, you know, if you had come out, I'd be more comfortable if you had come out to my house and I didn't have to fly in
here. This lady just sounds so crazy. I can't believe anything that comes out of her mouth just because her story is so twisted and everything. There's just so many dead ends to this. But it was hilarious. I was laughing so hard at it. I'm like, is this real?
You know what this, you know what this shows me? That we need a third party.
Mm-hmm.
That two parties
this can't. This two-party system is not working.
It's not working. And we need a third party, and we need term limits on.
Oh, definitely. We do need congressmen term
and senators. I mean, you shouldn't have people that have been in office for 44 years and they're 80 years old.
Oh, my God. Did you see how old some of these people up there were?
I know.
Like, who was it? Leahy? Is that how you pronounce
it?
Yeah,
Leahy.
Oh, he made me so mad. He was sitting there, like, drilling Kavanaugh, saying, tell me you want an FBI investigation. Yeah. Tell me you want it. Like yelling at him for 10 minutes because all these Democrats want is all these ones grilling Kavanaugh want to come out of this are A, either delay the nomination until the election, or B, get the headline, this was their goal, get a headline out of this saying FBI is investigating Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two things, and they got one of them, and they're still trying to work on delaying the nomination because even though they said, oh, well, wait a week, just 1 week, like you said to me before the show, Bernie Sanders just came out and was saying we should wait a few more weeks now.
Yeah, and have an FBI investigation on the other two crackpots that can't even remember what happened, didn't even know anybody. I mean, it's sad.
It's just sad that they're going to go about an FBI investigation. They're getting the headline that they want. They're still going to try to delay this as much as possible. And it's not because they care about the people accusing Kavanaugh.
Right.
They could care less. This is all political games, and it's sad to see that they're using people like this and using these allegations. It's a touchy subject.
You don't just use
stuff like this for political agenda.
No, and what was funny too, well, Lindsey Graham had another idea on a Fox show. He said that they're not required to hold these hearings in public. They're required to have the hearings. And he thinks it would be better if they were held behind closed doors where you couldn't make a spectacle of these people and ruin their lives.
Oh, well, I think it should be public. I think the people should have every right to see what's going on in government.
Yeah.
Transparency really is the best thing.
Well, it is. But I think when you ruin people's lives, it could have been done a different way. But anyway, now the one lady that's running for president, she was the black lady in the end. She's the senator, a senator from California with Feinstein. She walked out of the meeting yesterday when it came time to take a vote whether to, you know, put it forward to the full Senate. She got up and walked out. Now, to me, that she's not doing her job. She could have voted no, okay, but she walked out. She's going to run for president. So do you think her grandstanding was part of a ploy to... And then one other thing, too. I mean, you know, like I say, when women come out, you have to give them a little bit of a benefit. But they all said that they believed her before she even... When that letter first came out, they said, oh, we believe her. They didn't even have any...
No questions asked.
Oh, we believe her. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you need... And it sucks because sometimes there just is no evidence and it's your word against somebody else.
Sure.
And how is anyone going to know?
You're not.
That's up to the people around you to decide, but it can't... Those kind of things, unfortunately, can't be brought to a court of law. There's no... verdict that can come out of those situations, as sad as it is when it is true. But we can't go on making people guilty of things that we can't prove, because if it's false, that's not fair to them either.
Right.
So if it's true, it's not fair to the victim, and if it's false, it's not fair to the one being accused. And so it's just that it's really hard. It's not any black and white situation. Sure. There's so much gray area.
I mean, you could judge him on the decisions he's made. You may not like them, and you can do that. But in a situation where somebody comes out and accuses you of something, they have no corroborating evidence. I mean, and it's like the four people she named as to back up her story all gave the FBI a written testament under felony. If they were lying, said they
don't remember. Right, like obviously somebody's lying in this situation.
Right.
One of these two people are lying.
Right.
And so somebody is committing a felony.
Yeah. And when the person's best friend says that never happened, I was at parties with her and that never happened. And she even said that Kavanaugh was a great guy that, you know, I mean, and so he drank. The legal age was 18. And so kid that goes to school
doesn't drink, right?
College or, right. I mean, if you have a party and you want a couple beers, and he said, sometimes I had more than a couple beers.
And that happens in college.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that happen. And we have no way to go back and prove that.
That's right.
And I'm sorry, but until evidence comes out that proves him guilty, I think he's innocent.
And Leahy said to him, well, are you still a binge drinker? He was a binge drinker his whole life, you know what I mean?
Right.
He had, in college a couple times, he had more than three beers. And then they said, well, did you ever black out or not remember where you were? And he said, no. He said, I may have fallen asleep, but he says, I knew where I was when I woke up. I mean, oh my gosh.
It's just this whole thing, was like some kind of like show. It was like everyone was putting on a show. And the one thing that I always say is that when you have these big political moments going on that are taking up the, what's the word for it? Taking up the minds of society or whatever. Oh, you're all focused on this one thing.
Right, on the one
what's
thing.
What's going on? But like in the backdrop,
what's,
you have this show going on over here. What is our government trying to do at the same time simultaneously
or what's that we're not paying attention
to?
World.
Yeah. That what's going on that we're not paying attention to?
Right.
So unfortunately, I fell into what society was watching, and I have no idea what was going on.
No, I know.
Unfortunately, I have to lump myself into that group this time. But usually, I like to try to look at what else is going on, because this could all just be a show. This definitely, that's right. They could,
it could be a
they
sham.
Could all be in it together as a show to cover up something else that we'll find about in a few weeks. But the back to the Leahy thing, he was saying, you need to tell us that you want an invest, that you're telling us to investigate you. And he and Kavanaugh kept saying, whatever you wish, whatever the committee wishes. But he needed to say the words, I want you to investigate me. But he wasn't saying it. Why? Because he didn't want to delay the nomination. Right. He said, I don't care if you decide to do that, but I'm not going to decide to do it.
Or he said, you should go to the president and demand an FBI investigation. Right. And every time, you're right, every time he kept saying, whatever this committee wants, I'll do.
He's not scared of the investigation.
Nope.
He's not afraid of what's going to come out of it. He just didn't want to authorize it because he wanted to keep going forward with the nomination.
Sure.
Everything. He didn't want to be the reason why he delays himself.
Or keep putting this lady and him and his family more upset. I mean, there's people threatening both of these people's lives, their homes, his kids. And she's getting berated by people that like Kavanaugh. They're making her life tough. I mean, they're, you know, death threats. I mean, you want to get that over with.
Right.
Why keep subjecting these two people to that stuff?
Over something we cannot prove. I feel like none of this should be going on until there's incriminating evidence to bring up. There's absolutely no incriminating evidence. And they were, Leahy kept grill every time they had this back and forth for like 10 minutes. And Leahy it was so disgusting to watch. I was watching it, and like I said, he was screaming at him to tell him to do an investigation. I thought he might like keel over.
Right.
At this back and forth, because it was, he looked so stressed as he was doing it. And he's old. He's up there. He's like coughing and stuff.
Oh, I think he's over 80.
Why is he there right now? Why is he not gone yet? But, so that was absolutely disgusting to watch. I couldn't believe that it was going on. And then back to the Lindsey Graham thing, like I said, I don't really care for him. Why? Because he's a war hawk. He will use that same amount of passion that he used in the hearing to, for every single war. He'll justify any war, jump right into a war, no questions asked. That I don't like him because of that. So one thing that I don't care about Kavanaugh is that he's into the Patriot Act. He's not really against that. And, but I mean, he's not the worst that we could have. He's not the best that we could have. But as far as these accusations go and the hearing went, I'm on his side. This has, the way I feel about the hearings and everything has nothing to do with how I would feel as him as a Supreme Court justice. I think we're tearing apart an innocent man's life. And there was something else I was going to say. Wonder what it was. Having a brain fart. Leahy is 78. We just found out he's 78.
And he's probably been in, that's probably been his only job. He's probably been in there for 50 years. That's why I mean, probably 2/3 of the Senate are over 70 and they've been in for 35 or 40 years. You got to have term limits.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh ideas, people with different views, more women.
I'm surprised our AOC didn't show up.
Who's that?
Alexandria.
Oh, gosh.
I'm surprised she wasn't there making some kind of spectacle of herself.
Yeah, really. The social Democrat, you mean?
Yeah.
Or the Democrat socialist, yeah, or whatever she is.
Maybe she was and I didn't see it, like there, like talking to reporters.
Could be sitting in the background with
That face. With that face. I hate
that face. Oh gosh, I tell you.
There was a really funny meme that I saw. It was like, the same FBI that couldn't get to the bottom of the Las Vegas shooting is somehow in a week gonna pull up some kind of evidence from a high school party 30 years ago.
Well, what they're worried about, I know, really. And what they're worried about, too, is there's so many crooked FBI people that they've been proven over the last year that, I mean, you're going to trust the FBI.
Right.
Whenever you can't, you know, and you can't even trust them anymore. I mean, it's, this country's getting bad. We need a third party real bad.
Right.
You need to have more than two choices.
I mean, the electing Trump shows that people were tired of establishment Democrats and establishment Republicans, and they wanted an outsider.
Right.
I mean, Trump, I don't like him. I don't absolutely hate him. I didn't vote for him. But, I mean, he shows something. He reflects what the American people were thinking.
Right.
That we need somebody different.
Yeah.
And he was...
He was different.
He was different, and that's why he's there. I understand completely why he's president. He's not the smartest.
No. Nope.
By any means.
No, and I don't like... But you know, he's a smart businessman. He's not a smart politician.
I mean, except for our $1 trillion spending plan for the military.
Right.
But...
No, I know. But, I mean, look at... If you had a politician in there, you never would have got the employment rate up so high. The black employment rate is the highest it's ever been in history. The stock market has gone up 11,000 when Obama left office. It's now 27,000. And with all this stuff going on, you think it would go down, and it's going up. And he's created more jobs, and that is why I like him, because he does things that politicians wouldn't do. He's not afraid to do things with repercussions that he's not going to get elected again.
I mean, except for this like trade war we got going on with China.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete mess.
Well, it is. But something had to be, you know, the big thing about that, oh, China stole some of our intellectual property. But that had been before Trump got in. And he's just doing stuff to make them stop doing that. The trade war is going to end. Yeah, the trade war is going to end. But
yeah, I just don't think they... politicians should be able to interfere with trade.
No.
So I think this whole trade war is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt a lot of people. What was I going to say? We were talking about establishment, Democrats and Republicans. Yes, so third party is definitely needed. I think you're going to start seeing a big increase in third party campaigning. We saw Gary Johnson was running Libertarian in the last one. I mean, he's not the brightest. He did really bad. He didn't even know where that one place was. I don't even remember. He is running for, I think, the Senate.
Yeah.
Is it Arizona? It's not Arizona.
No, it can't be, because I think there's only one running. Where is he running for Senate? And, there's only one, that Jeff Flake there.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you in a minute. He's given up, and there's been there's somebody running against him, but I think it's a Democrat, unless it's a third party. He wants to go to Washington, Mr. He's gaining ground. The latest poll.
He is gaining ground. Says he's definitely gaining
ground. Let's see. I can tell you what state he's. what state he's...
Bear with us here.
Libertarian, U.S. Senate candidate and former two-time Republican governor, Los Alamos. So it's got to be Texas.
Texas?
Yeah. Or is Los Alamos in California?
I don't think it's California. I clearly need to travel more, though.
I know, me too. Let me see. Wait a minute. Told New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
He's running in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
Hopefully he can make a victory there. And then hopefully Larry Sharp can make a victory here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, hopefully third parties just start turning states over. And people will start to see, people already see that, are starting to see that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are basically the same thing.
Yes.
And that they're just not doing what they stood for anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that people are going to start seeking out third parties and start giving them chances. Hopefully that's what happens. But I mean, it's just that we got to do something different. People keep saying we're on the verge of a civil war, which I don't know how true that is, but I mean, the country is pretty torn apart.
Yeah,
I mean, it has been for a while, and it keeps
escalating more.
Right. And it's just one outrage after another, and eventually it's going to be the last straw. And I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime. I don't know. I do feel like at some point in my lifetime, I will see a depression, another depression, or a really great recession.
Oh, you will. I mean, that's a given. Something's going to happen. That's a given.
Or maybe a really bad war. I mean, hopefully I have some time here.
You have time to sell. You got a lot of time. Are you kidding me? Hopefully. I might not see it, but.
But we're going to see something. And it's going to be bad. And hopefully prepared for it.
Exactly. And today I think why things are going to get bad.
Sorry to be doom and gloom. I like to be positive.
But see, there's no tolerance anymore. And I don't know if that's because of social media. But, you know, it used to be you could tolerate a bad president and you could have a discussion about it, but not protest like that parties. Now, like Ted Cruz was out for dinner the other night with his wife. And I think it was 25 or 30 protesters came in and with signs and protested around his table and kept yelling things out at him. And you should be able to go out to dinner. And they ended up having to leave the restaurants like that. Susan Huckabee there. You should be able to go out to dinner.
Right. I mean, I think protesting is okay. Like peaceful protesting and everything. But I mean, you still have to respect somebody's life.
Exactly.
I mean, you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Which I don't know. I mean, you have a right, definitely have a right to be happy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I think that means more than just be happy. I think to have a calm life, you know, I think the pursuit of
without
happiness.
People getting into, I mean, you need to respect other people's right to live.
Right.
And I mean, protesting's fine. Protesting, whatever, but I mean, going in to where he's eating dinner and shouting things at him while he's at dinner with his family and everything, I mean, that's a little over the edge for me.
And other people in the restaurant, they don't want to, they didn't go out to spend, I don't know, maybe it was a fancy restaurant.
And
it
I mean,
was
that
expensive.
Is somebody else's property too,
yeah,
that you're going into, and so you're not really respecting the atmosphere of the business and have
concern about the people that are there,
right,
having dinner maybe with their family, and it could have been an expensive restaurant, so you go out to an expensive restaurant with Joey and you're expecting to have a nice dinner, quiet dinner, and then you get people screaming, 25 or 30 people come in screaming, and you got to get a little upset too, because here you wanted a night, you're in a good, nice restaurant. And I mean, why should you give up your right
to be out to dinner,
to be out to dinner, plan a nice night and have people destroy it like that when you're not even part of the,
right?
I don't understand it. It's just, it's getting weird. And I, like you say, I think our country's escalating so much that somewhere along the line.
Not in a good way.
No, something's got to pop. Whether it's a recession or a big conflict. That's why.
See, what I think, what I'm scared about is, so, I mean, we're so divided. But I also don't feel like. Like, I'm torn on this. One part of me feels like we're extremely divided as people. Another part of me feels like we're not as divided as I feel we are, which is weird because I conflict with myself. But I feel like either we are as divided as I think, like extremely divided, or we're not and they're telling us we are.
Mm-hmm.
That way we feel like we are. And I don't know what to believe. Like, I don't know, because the only thing that's what scares me is that when we're so divided, the thing that will bring us together, unfortunately, is a tragedy, mm-hmm. a big tragedy. And that's scary to me, because if we're so divided, that gives the government the opportunity to use a tragedy to try to pull us together. And usually what pulls us together after a tragedy is a war. And we've seen it every time in history, it repeats, because history repeats itself. And I'm not mm-hmm. sure why, because we don't learn anything from it. But that's what happens. And so if we are as divided as they say we are, and as I think we might be, I have a feeling that there's going to be a tragedy, like I said, like a depression or something, a really, really bad depression. They're going to mess with the economy somehow, or there's going to be a huge terror attack. And so we're going to use that depression or use that terror attack to try to unite the people again and go to war or do something or go to war on the economy. Or
well, you made a point. Why don't we learn from history? But we have a tragedy and it's forgotten in a year. we don't remember. I mean, you know, it just goes away. And then 10 years down the line, another tragedy comes.
But now, when tragedies come through, people get scared and start handing their freedoms and their rights over, like after 9/11.
Right.
We just gave our freedom to the government. We gave our privacy to them. And so I think we're due for something like that. Unfortunately, I think we're due for something like that.
Well, see, plus civil discourse has gone away. Now, you and I don't agree on some things, and we talk about it and debate it. But I think we both leave with a good feeling that we did talk about it.
Right. People can not agree on things and still talk about it and still like each other.
Right. You can agree to disagree.
Right. I do that all the time with people.
Yeah.
And I think that's been lost in society a lot.
Yeah.
And like, especially with like libertarians I see on Facebook all the time, there's a lot of diversity just in the libertarian party, the libertarian realm of people. You've got people on this side of libertarianism and then people on this side of it. And
yeah, you got a right and left and a libertarian.
And just even in that spectrum, and it's crazy. And I mean, but for the most part, we have these common goals, these common morals, and like all of our principles are morally based. And we still get along with, some people don't. But we try to get along with each other and talk about things. But I do think it's okay to disagree with people and still get along and talk about it. It adds for good conversation, adds for strengthening your viewpoints. It gets people thinking.
And in school, I don't know if they still do have debate teams, but that's good. How to debate and then walk away and still and the pro and con still be friends.
Right.
And it's, I don't know, we're just losing the normal way of doing things. And now if people don't agree, they line up on one side of the street with signs and bullhorns, and then the other side lines up on the other side of the street.
And nothing comes out of it.
No.
They're protesting each other.
Yeah.
Instead, you should be having thoughtful, meaningful conversations, finding common ground based on morals and principles. And, I mean, this outrage, like I said, which I was outraged this week, but I'm not out here protesting against people protesting me. It's just a protest war, which protesting's fine. We have a right to do that.
Sure.
But I mean, it doesn't get anything done if you don't stop protesting and start talking
about it. That's right. I mean, talking about things face to face in a calm way, even disagreeing, makes you think. All right. Now, a lot of the things that you've been talking about, I was against, or not maybe against, but I, you know, it just didn't pertain. But since you've been talking about things, it's making me think, and I've changed my views on some of the things that I've had my whole life.
And yeah, I think, my grandmother just recently said the same thing. She put something out on Facebook. She goes, my granddaughter has made me think a lot of ways that she made me take my blinders off. And although I don't agree with everything she says, she does have some good points and has made me think about things more.
Sure. And I think if we did that in a calm discussion with all the other people, you may walk away and say, I don't believe in that, but
I have a different viewpoint.
A week later, you may be thinking about some things and say, you know, but if you get upset and start swearing at him and cursing him and screaming at him,
and
you're not going to get
ignorant
anywhere.
Yeah. To anybody else's thoughts and ideas.
I don't know.
That's where we're at right now.
That's where we're at. And it's like you said, it's not getting better where we can see it. And there's more and more crazy things happening that really take away from what, like this allegation with no corroboration, that never would have happened. But today it seems to be the norm. You know, you can accuse somebody of anything.
I know, without any kind of proof, and that's what it sickens me.
Yeah.
I mean, innocent until proven guilty. That is our justice system. That's how it should be. And society just doesn't follow that. Society views it as guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
And that's sickening.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, because in that mindset, anybody can be guilty of anything.
That's right. And why should you be, I mean, see this, and there's some cases where, you know, a person is 55 or 60 and they'll go back to when he was a freshman in high school and he did this, and I don't mean raping somebody, but I mean, he did something, and why bring that up 50 years later when a kid is a kid? Now, they, just getting back to Kavanaugh for a minute, back in the 80s, the movies that came out were, what's the big one there where the college kids were drinking? John Belushi was in it. Animal House.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Animal House.
I don't know movies.
Ferris Bueller. And, you know, where they skip school and they drank and they partied. All right.
Bueller?
And Animal House was about college. Yeah. And I mean, so they're saying, well, you must have done things like that because that was what was going on. And he said they were movies. And he said, I mean, it's just the whole country is, I'm just sick of it. And you can't, it's always in your face.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get involved in all the negativity, but it's always in your face.
Yes.
And I mean, come on.
It's like, come on, guys. Let's focus and be outraged about all these war crimes our country commits.
That's right.
Or let's the fact go that bring people to trial with actual evidence of all the war crimes.
Right.
That we have, that people should be in jail for.
Or the fact that Boston won the American League East. Why don't we protest right. that? Because I'm a Yankee fan. I don't think anybody else should win but the Yankees. So, I mean, they should do an investigation in that. I think they were stealing signals from the catcher of the other team.
That would be a good one.
But, you know, I mean, it's like everything.
Oh, so, what a crazy world.
I just hope our kids, I hope there's enough sane people out to talk to their kids and show them the right way to do things. You know, and explain in a good way when they see things like this on TV.
I hope people teach their kids to think on their own.
Yeah. And, you know, if somebody doesn't agree with you, then let it go. Don't get into an argument because you're going to walk away really upset because yep. they didn't agree with you. Just let them believe what they want to believe. And
you can't change ignorance.
No. You can't.
You can only talk to people. You can't force anyone to think a certain way. And a lot of people don't understand that.
No.
But that's where we are.
That's right.
Unfortunately.
So, hey, I saw a picture of you with sunflowers on Facebook. Did you put a picture up with all these tall sunflowers? And you said, someday I hope to... I know it was you.
That I shared, maybe?
Yeah.
Of sunflowers?
You shared of sunflowers, like a field of them. And I don't know if it was just a picture that you found that you shared. Because he made a comment like, you know, someday I hope to have, you know, this beautiful.
I think I shared it.
Yeah, you did share it.
Yeah, I think I saw it somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Because I thought maybe you'd found a field like that and you stopped and you got out and took a picture.
No, I did about a little over a year ago. I went to sunflower field though.
Oh, really?
Yep. For okay. the first time. It was great.
Yeah.
They were all dead, but it was great.
But I know how much you like sunflowers, so.
Yeah. It was great. It was a huge field. You couldn't see the end of it.
Oh.
It was out west New York. It was amazing. Walked through it a little bit, and
I wonder if they harvest the sunflower
so
seeds.
Tall. Maybe.
Well, I know you wanted to try and do that. You were going to talk about that.
Yeah.
That early. That was like right after winter, I think. And you never kept getting to it. And we said, well, next show I'm going to talk about it. And then it got to be, it's too late now.
I don't know where those papers are. I don't even know where I found them. Oh, well.
That's funny. So what else you got?
I think I'm going to wrap it up.
All right.
And save everything else for next time.
Next week? All yeah. right.
We got another CPS case gone wrong.
Yeah.
Go figure.
What else? Yeah, what else is new?
Yeah, and then something about Google, and then something about the stop and frisk clause.
Yep.
Yep.
And we'll know a little bit more on they have no more witnesses, but...
Yeah, maybe we'll get some more
10 more things they went investigated, you know, but we won't spend as much time on that. We'll get to the other topics.
I figured like a few days of hearings and hours long of hearings these few days was worth a whole episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. When you see a system like that work and you get really disgusted with it on both sides,
mm-hmm.
You do get frustrated and you want to talk about it because something has to be done. Mm-hmm. The way they do that, it's terrible. I mean, and as you said, you know, and we talk the show next week, we'll have some more information, but you got some great topics there that we'll get to. And, you know, maybe the country will be friends in a week. You know?
Doubt it.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to end it there. I hope you guys all have a great weekend. It's I think it's supposed to be a pretty nice day today. And until next time.
Go pick apples. That'll be good for you.
Oh, I can't bring the dog.
No, you can't?
No.
They won't let you?
You can bring them to the orchard. You can't bring them on the trails to pick.
Oh, brother. Okay. We'll see you next Saturday. Yeah. Okay, Shane.